RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Great to have Joe as part of the program, regular guest on a Sunday morning. Terrific day's racing, day two of the championships. And Joe, as I welcome you into the program, Talking Horses is not going to be your only interaction with horses today. Tell us about what you got planned later on today.
Oh, no, I'm just... good morning, Warren and listeners. Out at a horse event this morning, the Gunnedah Show, the annual agricultural show here, which is considered to be the Royal of the North. So decided to bring the stock horse mare out for a couple of classes this morning. So looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Look forward to knowing how that pans out, letting us know how that pans out next week. And what a terrific day's racing it was yesterday, particularly at Randwick, day two of the championships, and owner breeder race day at Caulfield's, really building momentum with some terrific field sizes and great support from the industry.
It was a wonderful day of racing, wasn't it? The lead up to it was brilliant, particularly the promotion around at the Group 1 Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Wasn't it fantastic, Warren, to see the initiative by Kieran Ma Racing to erect the billboards promoting the clash between Sir Dragon A, Very Elegant, and the Dais?
Yeah, there's some very proactive and lateral thinkers involved in the Ma and Eustace stable, and I'm sure Johnny O'Neill and Aussie Kerr and others are very much to the fore with that type of stuff. And it's great because they're prepared to put their own money in to help promote racing, and that's a great thing.
It certainly is, and it was dubbed a real stoush between the horses. Of course, Very Elegant and Dave have built up a great rivalry, if you like, and we saw that all play out on the track yesterday. A great coup for Racing New South Wales and the ATC to attract international runners the calibre of a day to an event like that. And he saluted yesterday, which has really vindicated their move in recent years, hasn't it, Warren, to attract high calibre international runners.
Yeah, I think a horse like a Dave, who then goes on to compete in some of the elite carnivals throughout Europe, to see him come here and then have the likes of Very Elegant measure up against him and they develop that great rivalry, I think it's terrific for racing here in Australia. And it's great that William Haggis, with the challenges of COVID, etc., has made the move to bring a Dayab down here the last couple of seasons. I think it's really added to the carnival, and it probably does help give the championships that international focus.
It certainly does. I had a good chat with Izzy Paul, who's out here managing a Dayab for the yard during the week, and she herself said exactly what you just did then, Warren, that it's a real credit to a trainer, the ilk of William Haggis, to bring a horse of his calibre down under to contest Group 1 races. So the fact that he's been able to win yesterday and beat a high-class field like that in what was such an anticipated clash, I'm sure will now hopefully plant the seed for him in future to bring other horses to Australia and potentially other leading conditioners from the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously we like to see our horses travel and compete over there too. We love the Royal Ascot and the Black Caviar and others heading over there. So hopefully it's not the last we see of our horses heading over to their carnivals as well, Joe.
And Izzy Paul, our special guest on the program this morning, Warren. Congratulations, Izzy. Wonderful result for you and the team back home in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. He's such a star, and we're all incredibly proud of him and what he's done. So, yeah. So.
Well, talking to you during the week, you had him ticking over nicely. You were pretty comfortable with him going into the race and that he may potentially turn the tables on the mare after the Randwick and what was such a great run by him. What were your thoughts, say, 200-300 metres out from home when they all started closing?
Just sort of hoping and praying and watching. And it was a fantastic ride by Tom. And you never get too complacent until they've crossed the line. But I was pretty excited. And even when Very Elegant got a little bit keyed early on in the race, I thought that was sort of quite good for us, really. And you never want to wish anyone else badly, but I was hoping that she'd empty the tank a little bit and then it would leave us in a better position, which, yeah, it definitely did. He was just awesome yesterday. And yeah, as I say, we're all very, very proud of him and Safeed and Tom.
And you're expecting some improvement off that first run in Australia this campaign, because he did so well, obviously, in the same campaign last time in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. He always finds a couple of lengths between runs. It was similar last year. He ran at Ayr before he won the Champions League. So, he definitely always finds that little bit extra, and he definitely tightened up from the run. And when we saddled him, he was definitely a lot grumpier the second time than the first. So, which was a great sign for him, because that's when you know he's in really good form. So, he definitely found that little bit of improvement, and it's great.
The promotion leading up, you wouldn't have seen anything quite like it back home in the UK, I'm sure.
No, it's very exciting, and it's such a credit to Australian Racing. It's one of the things I really love down here, how everyone gets behind it, and it's so well promoted, and the big clash between the two horses, and then obviously Kieran Maher getting involved with his billboards and everything. It makes for a really exciting lead-up. I think it probably adds a little bit of pressure here and there, but it's great that everyone gets so behind it. And the support we've had for a day down here is phenomenal, because you sort of think an international raider, people might be a bit wary, but everyone seems to love him, love Tom, love the feet. So it's great.
Yeah. And what's been the reaction back home, and in particular from the boss?
Oh, the boss is just delighted. And as you said a minute ago, it's such a credit to him to send him down once and then to send him down again, particularly after he won the Champions Stakes. It's a big risk, because it's a lot for horses to travel this far, and there's no guarantee that they'll win it. To do what he did last year was phenomenal, and then to win it again this year is just it's pretty extraordinary. So everyone at home is absolutely delighted, particularly the boss. And it's such a credit to the whole team at home. It's not just Safeed and I here. It's everyone at home as well, keeping everything going. And, massive. Mm.
How much do you think this will now go towards encouraging William and the team back home to look at bringing high-calibre horses here in future years?
I mean, you'd hope that it would definitely encourage them to do it again. I mean, I hope it does as well. But it takes the right kind of horse, and he's just been a star down here. And even the other little horse winning the Mannion Cup was massive. But they've got to be the right horses, and there's no point in sending down the wrong one, I don't think. So, but I'm sure if we've got the right type of horse, he wouldn't hesitate doing it again. we've had our fair share of success.
Yeah, no question about that. How long have you been in Australia with the horse now for?
I think it's almost 3 months, because we did the 2-week hotel quarantine, and then we've obviously had an extra week. So Tom Marquand and I were talking about it yesterday, and I think it's almost 3 months. So it's been a long stint, but it's been a phenomenal experience.
I'm sure it has. What's your take on Australia in general, Izzy?
Oh, I absolutely love it. and Aussie hospitality is amazing. The guys here at Canterbury have looked after us so well, and all the guys at Racing New South Wales as well. So we've been incredibly lucky to have such a great experience down here. And it's nice to get out of an English winter anyway, and then to be received so well is even better.
UK racing has not been without its challenges in recent years, and particularly with the added pressure of COVID in recent times. What's your view then on the state of play here in Australia, having experienced it at the coalface for a number of months now, and particularly during what's been a very buoyant yearling sales season as well, with a lot of money flying around the sales ring for horses of all types? I'm sure you've probably quite taken aback with just how well Australian racing is going as an industry in general.
It's brilliant. And I think Australia, you guys are lucky. You have a real culture of sport, and everyone gets behind it. Everyone loves going racing, loves having a punt. So I think that really helps you. Your weather definitely helps as well, because it's lovely to go to the races on a nice sunny day. When you're at home, it can be pretty cold and miserable. But no, it's amazing to see how well received racing is down here. And as you say, the yearling sales were particularly buoyant. And it's great to see how much money is in the industry. And I think the Queen Elizabeth last year was the eighth highest rated race in the world, I believe. And it's great that Aussie racing is competing on that international scale for those types of races. And I think bringing horses like a day down here only adds to that. So I'm just really pleased to be a part of it and get to come down here and enjoy it all as well.
Great to have you a part of it, Izzy. How's the horse this morning?
There's not a bother on him. He is absolutely amazing. He's bright and well. He's eaten everything. So, yeah, I was a bit surprised. I came around the corner and he's head over the door. And, yeah, he looks like he's barely had a run. So, we'll see how he goes in the next couple of days. We've got a long trip down to Melbourne tomorrow. And then they ship home Wednesday. But, yeah, both boys look great this morning. So I'm very happy with them.
Yeah, so what is the process with the long journey back home for our listeners that aren't so familiar with how these international frequent flyer horses go around the globe?
So we ship down to Melbourne on a horse float at about 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, and then the horses will have a couple of days to rest out at IRT Park, which is just near the airport, and then late Wednesday night they both get in crates and they get loaded up, and they've got a couple of professional flying grooms with them, and you will monitor them all the way home. That's sort of how it works. But it's a lot for them, and that shouldn't be underestimated, I don't think. And it's amazing that these boys have taken to it as well as they have.
So what's the overall length of the journey in terms of days for him to get back to the yard?
Oh, well, so if we count Melbourne as well... We're looking at nearly 5 days, but then I suppose we're giving them a couple of days to rest in Melbourne, but it'll be 10 hours down there, and then I think I'm not even really sure what the flight is, but it's a hell of a long way, and they've got 2 stops, and but they're very well looked after, and where they travel down here so well, you're more inclined to sort of suggest that they'll do the same on the way home as well. They tend to, sometimes it can take them one big journey to get used to it, and then they, once they are into the swing of it, they get pretty good at it. So
and what about you, how did you go get home, especially with all of these COVID restrictions on international travel in particular?
We've got to do some, Feed and I will both do some COVID tests just when we get down into Melbourne, and then both of us, well, I fly home and Safid is going for a little break to India to see his family, so he flies to India. And then I've got to do a little bit of self-isolation when I get home. I think 5 days and 2 tests. It's a long journey, but it'll be good to get home as well.
I'm sure it will, as the flat season starts to hit a high note up there.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be back and hit the ground running. We've got some really nice horses. We've had some great results last week, and one very nice filly won the Nell Gwynn at Newmarket. So, it's an exciting time of year to be going back, and I can't wait.
And will we likely see you back here in Australia again?
I really hope so. Fingers crossed. I've absolutely loved it. And it's been an amazing experience. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be back again next year.
Fantastic. Izzy, thank you very much for taking the time to join us this morning. I'm sure you're inundated with media requests, and safe travels to you and the horse home.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's Izzy Paul there. He's travelling with the Daib and has been for many months now, Warren. It's always very interesting to hear the backstory of how these jet setters traipse around the globe to contest these major races.
It's obviously such a terrific bond between Izzy and Adaib and all probably the horses that Izzy works with. And the passion for what she does absolutely comes out in the way that she communicates with people, Joe. And it's just exemplifies how strong the bond is between the people that actually handle these horses and how exciting it was for her to be there yesterday. And very diplomatic, the way she put it, about she thought that Very Elegant Over Racing a little bit would work in Adaib's favour, but she didn't really want to wish any bad luck on anybody, but hopeful that might help Adaib in some way.
Yeah. No, it was a great race. It didn't let us down just after such a tremendous lead-up. And there were plenty of other highlights on the program yesterday at Randwick. Of course, Frankel, the great sire from the Northern Hemisphere, producing the ATC Australian Oaks winner yesterday in Hungry Heart.
She was terrific, wasn't she, overcoming the bias at Rosehill the start before, and she was terrific yesterday. And yeah, Chris Waller just knows how to time his horse's preparations for grand final day. We saw that in the Sydney Cup with the import Salino also, and it's just was just a high-quality race day all around. Probably, you know, from a fairy tale point of view, probably just getting nosed late by Natoya from a lot of punters' point of view wasn't great, but what a great horse Natoya has been for Connections and Wendy Roach, another Group 1 over the mile at Randwick.
Yes, it was a fantastic contest, wasn't it? Of course, back at the scene with their biggest wins, Natoya was the Doncaster Mile heroine, edging out Epsom Handicap heroine, Probabil, in one of the most thrilling finishes of the day yesterday, the Queen of the Turf, over 1,600 metres. It was a wonderful contest. A bit about that particular horse. She was the only one put through the English Ready to Run sale with a reserve of $80,000, and when bidding halted at $55,000, she was sent back home on the float to Mittagong.
Yes, and she probably had some pizza or whatever last night. We're going to catch up with Wendy Roach later on and find out what the diet was for Natoya, but sounds like she's got a slightly alternative lifestyle. She's a character around the stable, and owner breeder race day is really developing down here, Joe, and the Million Dollar Showdown yesterday taken out by Finance Tycoon, and probably a very interesting time for Lindsay Park, with Tom Dabney effectively stepping away at the end of the season and Ben and JD taking the reins for Lindsay Park. They need to keep winning the big races to keep the stable at the level that it's been accustomed to for decades, Joe.
Yeah, it was a very timely outcome for the team, wasn't it? Ben Hayes now stepping right up to the plate in the absence of his father, David, who's training his success now in Hong Kong. But wins like that on the board at this early stage of him doing things outright for the Lindsay Park operation was a wonderful outcome for him. And it was interesting during the week, Warren, to hear just how confident he was about the horse's chances, and he was heavily backed prior to the post.
Yes, well, I suppose the form through the Blue Diamond has held up very well, and there was some concern about Starry Legend getting out to 1,200 metres, and that was also reflected in the market. So, yeah, the support for Finance Tycoon continued from I suppose, the time markets were available for the race and then went right through until in the last half hour during official betting. He was heavily supported, I think, from about 380 into about 310. So the punters were keen, and Lindsay Park was able to deliver. We better let you get organised to get your show on the road, Joe, up there at Gundagai.
Yeah, thanks very much, Warren. Wrapping up on Finance Tycoon, the background on him. He was bred by Boom Racing Thoroughbreds and Golden Gully Thoroughbreds and was a $150,000 Magic Millions purchase for Mativa Bloodstock from the Eureka Stud Draft.
Well, that's been money well spent now, and he's a horse that, just talking to Ben Hayes earlier on, they kind of have him up and running for some of the early sprints in the spring, and look, you would think that he's got, you know, the right attributes. He can ride the speed, then he can quicken. He's just a really no-frills, ideal-style racehorse, I think, what we've seen him in the early stages of his career.
Yeah, and just a final point following up on something we discussed on the show last week, Warren, and that was the future of the former champion Victorian sire, Rootin Tycoon, who now stands at Arrowfield in the Hunter Valley. Well, not for long anyway. Still no closer to getting to confirmation of just exactly where he will go. Of course, Mark Rosethorne, the CEO of Woodside Park, selling his share out to Sharifa Stander, who now is the majority shareholder in the horse. I believe there are many fingers in the Written Tycoon pie at the moment. The pot's thickening a little bit behind the scenes, but we may be about a week or so off getting some confirmation as to which stud he will stand at this season.
Well, I look forward to you hopefully bringing us that news next week, Joe. And as I said, good luck with your show today. I look forward to getting the results of that also and following the Group 1s of the All-Aged and the Champagne Stakes at Randwick next week.
Terrific, Warren. Let's hope we can do that.